This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. This is Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds from around the world. Brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, former USA Baseball National Team Coach, Peter Caliendo.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending where you're at in the U.S. or around the world. Thanks for joining us on Baseball Outside the Box. Hey, listen, 100 plus countries watching the show, listening to it on the podcast. We want to thank our audience in the U.S. and around the world. Do us one favor. Just go to YouTube, Peter Caliendo. Hit that big red subscribe button. That's all we ask. All the shows are free. Guess what? This is show 200 on the podcast on Baseball Outside the Box. And also, don't forget, the audio is there. So if you missed the show and you hear about it from somebody else, just go to, you know, baseballoutsidethebox.com and check it out. And that way you could also, you know, be mowing your lawn or jogging and listening to it. Okay, folks, so thanks a lot. So for show 200, we've got a great guest here. This is going to be a fun show, and I'll tell you why. First of all, he's been in the big leagues for, I think, 10 years in the major leagues, played for a bunch of clubs, a pitcher. He is a professional broadcaster. This guy's been a broadcaster with the Tigers, ESPN, College World Series, and he has an interesting product called Pitch Logic. I'm not going to tell you what it is yet because he is. And on top of that, he understands pitching nowadays, what's going on, not only at the youth level, but also at the major league level. Some of the things that possibly need to be changed to help our young people get better. So let me welcome right away our guest, Larry Sorensen. Larry, how you doing, buddy?
Peter, great to be with you, and I'm honored to be in the part of the 200th show. Congratulations to you for making it to 200. That's a lot. That's a lot
Thank
of work.
You. And I got to mention also, you know, what an honor for me, because I know you've been, you know, I've seen you on our Zoom shows, listening to the shows at times. And I, you know, again, a lot of our guests do listen to the show, and you know, that really helps because that gets the show out when they see guys like you, you know, watching us. So really appreciate it, Larry. So tell me, let's start it off with this. It'd be interesting. Just start off with what you're doing right now, especially during the coronavirus. First of all, you got a beautiful studio, got a professional setup. So obviously you know what you're doing. But tell us what you're up to.
Well, doing a couple of different things. One of the things that I do is I broadcast football and baseball for Wake Forest University. Football for the Learfield IMG College network and the Wake Forest Sports Properties. And then for the ACC network, I do the baseball. I've been doing that for 7 years in baseball and my fourth year in football. But I also got involved with a project called Pitch Logic by F5 Sports, which is a circuit board inside of a baseball with sensors that gives you all the different metrics that explain what the baseball is doing on the way to home plate. And this virus is actually, the COVID virus has actually been an interesting situation. I still commute to Winston-Salem to do the football games, and we'll travel with the team to the different places. But with the baseball, we were in spring training when everything hit and they started shutting down, and we came home and wondered what would happen to business. But as it turned out, and you hate to say that it was that you benefited from it, but all the players that went home that couldn't get to their facilities were looking for a way to still do the work they'd been doing in spring training. And when they found out that they could pick up a Pitch Logic baseball for $250 and throw it in their backyard and still get the same numbers that they were getting on the mound down in spring training in Arizona or Florida, a lot of people really reacted well to that.
You know what? Let's do this then. I think it'll be interesting. Since you brought up Pitch Logic right away, and we're going to get into some of the things with youth baseball and also, you know, some of the things going on in Major League Baseball. I want to get an idea about your career when you were pitching comparable to how things are going now. But since you brought up Pitch Logic, let's tell our audience, because I think it's an interesting product. Tell us what it does, why it's so important for young pitchers that possibly to have a product like this. Because, you know, one thing we hear about in technology, and that is, man, we got so much of it that sometimes we're confusing kids.
Well, the one thing that I try to stress to everybody is that if you communicate about the terminology of the game and the linguistics of the game, you find out that a lot of the time you're talking about the same thing. You know, I'm 65 years old now. I played back in the 70s and 80s, and we've got some young guys that are in regular touch with us and doing some work for us, and we just have different terminology, and you have to talk to each other and find out what exactly. I was talking about opening up too fast and tilting my head, you know, and leaning my head, and he said, oh, you mean spinal tilt infusion or something. I said, no, I mean I'm opening up too fast and I'm tilting, you know. So it's just talking to each other and realizing.
You.
And you mentioned the teams. I played for 7 different teams, so I get to go to a lot of alumni functions, right?
Yeah.
All over the place. And I go see the old guys, and they say, we don't really need that. I can see with my eyes what you guys are putting numbers to. And I said, but we're putting exact numbers to what you're seeing. And it's just taking it to the next degree. And you look at what we're doing now with a Zoom call and the technology involved. You were talking about your cell phone. And I read once that a cell phone has more computer capabilities than what we put the lunar module on the moon with. You know, wow. And that's how far we've come, and you've just got to keep up with that. So, yes, it's a game of instinct, and it's a game of feel, and it's a game of touch, and it's all those things. But it's also learning how to improve yourself with the tools that you have available. And to take this baseball and go out and watch it record the numbers from every throw you make, and there's 13 different metrics on the basic app. You've got arm slot. You've got break direction. You've got lift force, horizontal and vertical movement. You've got, obviously, velocity, the easy one. And then spin rate is broken down 3 different ways, to backspin, side spin, and top spin. Backspin and top spin, side spin and rifle spin, excuse me.
Wow.
And it really breaks it down so that you can see what each pitch is doing. You latch on to the things that you know you need to improve on, and all of a sudden you're making definite improvements very quickly.
You know, first of all, it's great to see someone who pitched in the 70s and 80s because, you know, a lot of times, a lot of us, you know, we're looking at technology and saying, just like you said, I can just see it. But when somebody embraces it, one, who pitched in the big leagues, two, you know, who's been around the game a long time as a broadcaster also, and all of a sudden now you believe in this. Tell me, if you had this product, and I'm going to get into the specifics of the product, but if you had this product when you were pitching, what would it do for you to make you better at that time?
In my particular situation, I threw 281 innings my first full season in the major leagues when I was 22 years old.
Wow.
I was drafted out of the University of Michigan after my junior year and in June. And in June of the next year, I was pitching in the big leagues. And the following season, I threw 281 innings. And what it did for me was it tired out my arm because we know the body's not designed to take that kind of pounding. And it really changed my arm slot and the way I released the baseball. And what Pitch Logic does is it shows you on a clock face exactly where your arm slot is. And it also shows you the axis that the ball is spinning on. And I think that it really would have helped me to get those two narrowed down more together and got me back in sync. Because we were doing it, eyeballing it, but I also played for 7 teams in 10 years. So I had different pitching coaches all those years, and they weren't that familiar with my delivery after a while. So I think that the advent of video, all the technology that we've got is great. And there are a lot of products out there that do a lot of great things. It's learning how to use them, learning how to adapt it, and making sure that we don't clone ourselves to the machine, but keep all the other good aspects of the game as well.
You know, and all those coaches obviously possibly also had different ways of telling you what to do. Interesting. Would the ball determines all these specific things, but will it also, because it's determining spin and angle and arm stuff, does that mean it gives you a good idea if the body's sinking in the right movement and it could reduce injuries?
It will definitely help you reduce injuries because it gets you into the good spot you need to be. You establish your baselines, which we all like to do. We all like to establish our baselines and the way that we feel best doing it. And when you see the numbers printed out, and there's a way that you can get a printed out report just by hitting a button that's on the menu, and it sends you a report to your email so you can take a look at the numbers. And it lets you see exactly when you start to waver away from the good things that you can do. Now, the one thing that you have to remember, Peter, and you know this, you've been around baseball so long that you know that not everybody does everything the same way, right? We don't have, if we've got a 15-man pitching staff, we don't have 15 guys throwing the ball the same way. Matt Hobbs, who was at Wake Forest when I was doing the games and now has moved on to Arkansas, was kind of my mentor getting me into the idea of what analytics can do. And I would go to him, and he would say, you know, the x-axis, y-axis, this, that, and the other, and he did this or he did that. And I'd say, hey, Matt, all I know is he flattened his wrist, he spun a slider, the guy hit it 410 feet, and you lost in the ninth.
That's right.
He started showing me how you can define the pitches and you can learn from it. And that got me really interested in it. And he said once we went over to the lab that Wake Forest has, and David Rankin, who along with Steven Sukernik invented the pitch logic baseball, said, well, what are the five biggest problems that you've got? And Hobbs said, I've got 16 sets of five biggest problems.
Wow.
Because every guy has unique situations all to himself. And so you establish your baselines, you find out how you're effective, you figure out how to stay away from the averages where hitters like to hit the ball, and try to find the outliers. And I heard Brent Strom on one of your on one of your podcasts, and Paul Mineri on one of your broadcasts, you know, and they say it's a blend of the old and the new, and you stay away from the averages and you go to the outliers. And those are the kind of guys that you're looking for. And this defines everything that you do, and you can understand it. And it's also, Peter, a different generation of player now, and they understand differently, and they learn so many different ways that when you throw the visuals at them and the numbers at them, they get it. I mean, I've got a 2-year-old grandson that when we FaceTime, grandma says, go over and turn off the phone, and he walks over and he knows which button to hit and how to do it, and he knows when to look at the camera, and he's 2 years old. People are learning differently these days, and as a different generation, we have to adjust to that.
Man, my brains are going to explode. I got a lot of questions here.
And I talk a lot. Sorry about that.
Hey, you're a broadcaster, so I got the perfect guy. You're like talking all day. That'd be fantastic. You know, you got the baseball. So it's an actual baseball that you're throwing. Same weight, same size, everything. When was it developed?
The project has been in development for about 10 or 12 years. But it's been about 3 years that he started off separately. David Rankin did with Steven Sukernik, started off and formed F5 Sports. And I've been with them about 2 years and 8 months now. So I kind of got in on the ground floor because I was getting ready to go do a weight game. And I had a friend from church that said, you need to see this friend of mine that's doing something with a baseball. And I did. And as soon as I saw what they were doing, I knew it was going to be a big hit. It's the exact same leather that goes around Major League Baseball. They ship to Costa Rica and they ship to Winston-Salem, which is where the product is made. So it weighs the same. Every ball is tested on its way out. It's got a polyurethane core made up of a number of different materials. It's got all the same characteristics as a regular baseball. The only thing you can't do with it is hit it, because we don't guarantee it against the compression of being hit with a bat. So it's not a game ball. It's strictly a pitching tool.
Absolutely. Folks, if you're on Facebook, I forgot to mention, you can see me, and I know you don't want to see me. You want to see Larry and listen to him. So you could also go to YouTube Live, Peter Caliendo. Just type Peter Caliendo, C-A-L-I-E-N-D-O. You know, the other thing, Larry, with a baseball like this, you know, man, 10 years of research. I mean, we're talking about, so they've done their homework here. And what I'm interested in is, since they've been using it, I'm just going to assume this because the product's doing really well, that pitching coaches have made adjustments in pitchers' deliveries and have seen a big success in this.
No question about that. I did an interview with Steve Merriman from the Rockies not long ago, and he was saying one of the things they do is they figured out that the tap, that guys were using what they thought was a tap mechanism, actually threw off some of their different mechanics, and they were able to glean that from the information that's on the app. I would suggest to people, too, go to pitchlogic.com, and you can take a look at the app and take a look at exactly how it works. There's explanation sheets of all the different terminology and everything else in there, and really a lot of good information that you can get from that. But it can be used in so many different ways and so many different age groups. We've got 10-year-olds that come in and get it, and we've got major leaguers that throw it in between starts.
Well, you know what? It just makes sense because, and we're going to get into this. First of all, terminology-wise, you said it. And I know sometimes it's about marketing. It's about being different. People want to use special words so that way everybody's impressed and they're going to go to their website. I get all that. But man, we got to keep it simple. I'm with you 100% when you said that. And the other part is when it comes to this baseball, I mean, we're talking about it's revolutionizing the game from the standpoint of injuries. I'm going to go back to that. What do you think are the reasons why we're seeing these type of injuries as they get older? We know velocity, but at the same time, there's got to be more than just velocity.
Well, first of all, and it's one of my favorite stories, and you'll remember because you're an older guy like me, but Dan Quisenberry, to me, had one of the ultimate great lines when they asked, he was a guy that threw from down under. He was a Submariner, and people ask, why do you throw from down there scraping your knuckles when you throw? And he said, well, if God intended us to pitch, we'd walk like this. We'd walk with our hands over our arms, over our head, and we don't. We walk with our hands down here. That's why softball pitchers are able to pitch two or three games in one day. And in baseball, we found out that the human body is not designed to propel a five-ounce object 90-plus miles per hour all day long. And what this does, I think one of the biggest things is improves your consistency. You can see that you're staying within the safe metrics of what your body is capable of. And I think one of the reasons that we see so many injuries in the game of baseball today is because guys are over-conditioning themselves to the point of stretching the body past what the body's capable of doing. Guys are so big and so strong, they're trying to do some things that the body isn't designed to do and getting outside of their normal parameters. And that's, I believe, one of the big reasons why we see so many injuries.
Folks, you're at Facebook also. If you got a question and you're sticking with us on Facebook, I'm looking at you right now, and that is go ahead and type in if you got a question for Larry, any question you have, either about the product, pitching, whatever it may be. Larry, the other thing is arm slot, is so important, but the measurements, are there measurements, is there stress measurements on this where it tells you there's so much stress to a certain joint? Does it go that far?
No, it doesn't measure stress, but we are going to be coming out with a new app coming out very shortly, and I don't want to give away too much of what's going to be involved with the new app because we'll have an announcement about all that. But it will contain some of the newest ideas that are out there in the game, and we're going to jump out ahead of a lot of people with some things that are going to be new and revolutionary with video capture and different and tunneling and things of that nature that are going to be really, really exciting. And I also want to emphasize to people that, you know, these things sound confusing. And I got to tell you, when I first started learning about these things, it was all about these geometric things and x-axis and y-axis, and I didn't know what the heck he was talking about. Once you start getting into it, once you start getting an understanding of the basics, and you realize as an older guy, you can transform it in your head into what you know, but as a younger person, it's things that you're familiar with, it really falls into place pretty quickly. So it's an easy process to get into, to understand what's going on. There's a clock face that shows you arm slot angles. That's easy enough to figure out. You learn the terminology. Spin efficiency is something that every pitcher is looking for. You want your spin efficiency as high on a fastball as you can get it, and you can actually watch the numbers creep up with every throw that you make because it gets to your phone like that. It's connected by Bluetooth to your telephone, and as soon as that ball hits either the mitt or you can throw it 15 feet into a net and it gives you the same numbers as if you were throwing 60 feet 6 inches, as soon as it hits that net, the numbers pop onto your telephone just like that.
Wow. And if you know, whether you like it or not, folks, you got to understand kids love technology nowadays. So on top of it, you know, they're going to get more excited. You know, it's not that they have to depend on it all the time, but they could learn from it. And it's a lot more fun. You know, the other part, okay, so I could throw it into a net, but obviously the best would be if I'm throwing to a pitcher, to a catcher, because now I'm seeing the result of my control along with all the metrics.
Yeah, and PitchLogic does not measure whether the ball is a ball or a strike. It's not related to the strike zone at all. It measures the actual movement or has a projected movement on the new app of where it would be. So if you throw it 15 feet into a net, it's going to tell you what your movement numbers are going to be at 60 feet, at 55 feet, which is about where the general average release point is, about 5 feet down the line, 5 to 6 feet. So it's a fascinating product. It's easy to understand. It's inexpensive. We've got a 30-day return guarantee. If for some reason you're not thrilled with it, and we don't get many balls back for this reason, but if something happens and you're not satisfied, send it back. We'll give you your money back. Doesn't matter how beat up you've made it, and we don't get them back.
All right, Larry, one topic that comes up a lot, love to get your opinion on this. That is, you know, you hear spin rate, obviously all over MLB Network and all the statistics behind it. And I think people are starting to understand what spin rate is, why you want the ball to spin more, whether it be on a fastball up high or whether it be a curveball. But, you know, the question is always, and I haven't gotten great answers, and I've had some pretty good people I thought on the show, you know, that's great that it measures that, but how do we increase the spin rate? You know, is it a matter of movement pattern, you know, technique, or how do you increase that spin?
Again, I think that we have to go back to, and Paul Mainieri said it on your show, he said blend is the key thing. And I think of it in terms of the pitcher. You get guys now, and it's one of the things that I worry about, is that everybody gets into their own little cave with what they know and like. And maybe it's some guy that preaches lower body movement and thinks that's the end all be all. Maybe it's a guy that is about arm slot. Maybe it's a guy that's about spin rates. And we all seem to want to think that's the only answer to what makes you better. And it's not. It starts from the foot and it goes all the way until the release out of your fingertip. And on our new app coming out, we'll have Final Touch where you can tell where the ball comes off your fingertip and how it's spinning. But it's the combination of that entire thing. You've had guys on your show that have talked about the glide down the mound, you know, and that's absolutely an essential point. But they're all essential points, because if one thing goes wrong, chances are everything's going to go south from there. And when you try to repeat any movement, you can't do it all the time. I tell people all the time, if you think you can repeat your delivery, go try to write your name 100 times and see how many times it's exactly the same. You can't do it. You just can't do it.
I'm a great example of that, because I've had people say, well, that's not the signature that was on the bank part. You know, I mean, mine's definitely different almost every time. Back to the product. Let's stick with the product for a second, because I'm interested in this. And that is, anything else that you feel, you know, because you mentioned 16 metrics, I think it measures. But is what else is important that's being measured that you see as extremely important for people to understand that it helps in pitching? I know there's many things, but what else is,
you
can
know,
we get
I
into?
I tend to go with the basics. And to me, the basics are your arm slot. And there's two arrows that are on the basic face. And I don't know if you can see that or not, but that's the app that we have that comes out on your telephone. And the clock face, well, that switched out, sorry.
That's
but
right.
There's a clock face on there, and there's two arrows. And one is a blue arrow, one's an orange arrow, and a yellow arrow. And the yellow arrow shows you your arm slot on a clock face. Most guys are going to be throwing in the 130 to 2 o'clock type area, about a three-quarters arm slot. And then the blue arrow, for your basic fastball, you want to try to get those two arrows to overlap, and that's the break direction. And you want those two arrows to line up as much as you can. And then the third thing that I think is really important is the spin efficiency. And if you tap on the rifle spin face button, it will convert and toggle back and forth between rifle spin and spin efficiency. And you want to get up to 95% or so with your fastball. Anything above that, you're stretching the limits of valuable contribution after that to how much difference you can make. But once you get above 90 and in the 95 mile per hour range, that's a pretty effective spin efficiency, which means the ball is really working for you. And it's what I call bite, what the old timers call bite. Mm-hmm. Is your break direction, the force of the break direction. Has to do with Magnus effect, and we can get David Rankin in here to go 18 miles down that rabbit hole.
Then I really have a headache.
Basics for young guys is really good stuff.
We got Harold Mozingo, I think I pronounced it right. Pitch Logic is awesome. Keep up the good work, Larry. Obviously has the products, have used it. Any question, folks on Facebook, a lot of people on Facebook, you got a question for Larry, just ask. That's why I'm looking at the Facebook page there. Larry, you know, when it comes to the game of baseball, we talked about the injuries that are occurring. You know, when you see youth baseball, the direction it's heading, what do you see with young pitchers that is detrimental to the game and possibly what you think is going really well?
I think that we have made it so competitive for them that we're driving them to become showcase players, that we're driving them to pitch for certain metrics and certain things rather than improving their overall game all the time and learning the entire game. You know, I think that we're creating some robots that are going out there thinking that 95 is the magic number, and if I throw 95, I'll be in the big leagues. I broadcast the Winston-Salem Dash games for 4 years, which is the high A affiliate of the Chicago White Sox. And I would talk to some guys, and they would say, well, I'd say, tough one yesterday. And they'd say, yeah, I was only throwing 93. And I said, well, you max out at 95, and you're throwing 93, and you can't figure out a way to win at that kind of velocity, and your breaking ball wasn't bad. You just didn't make any adjustments during the game. And guys have a tendency to think that if I don't do this or don't do that, I can't possibly succeed, and I don't believe that's true. Anybody will tell you that a third of the time you go out there, you've got your best stuff. The rest of the time, you don't. So if I made 30 starts in a year, I'd have what I considered unbeatable stuff 10 times. I'd have stuff that it was a miracle I even dragged it out there 10 times. And then it's those other 10 in between where you adjust and you find a way to be successful. And those are the guys that have long careers in the major leagues.
And, folks, Larry pitched a long time in the big leagues, so he's got a lot of experience. And, you know, I was listening to a broadcast, not going to mention names, not important. I listened to a broadcast, and they're talking about a pitcher that didn't do so well, and his slider, I think it was like 3-4 mile an hour slower. He got hit and everything, and I'm thinking he's not doing well because he's slower. But to your point, if you can't control the ball where you want it to control – yeah, that's a problem. But if I'm throwing 3-4 mile an hour slower and certainly even on my fastball that day, if I could locate the pitch up and down, across, diagonal, whatever it may be, shouldn't I still be able to be successful?
Or if you have confidence in your other pitches, you wait until that one comes around. You know, I can't tell you how many times I came in from the bullpen and Sal Bando would be standing there saying, "You ready to go?" And I'd say, "Hold on a minute, I got to go in the crapper and find my slider." Because I didn't have it in the bullpen. And I might not get it till the third inning. But if I could get by with my sinker and a little cutter and a changeup until that slider came around, and I'd still fool with it and I keep trying. And then about the third inning, it'd be, all right, there it is. Now it's here. Now I can play off my slider for 3 or 4 innings and use that as my dominant pitch. And all of a sudden, I'm in the sixth or the seventh inning and trying to figure out how to get the horse to the barn.
What would you say to young kids and coaches that are working with real young kids in the U.S. and around the world, because there's coaches all over the place that are working with young players? If I'm starting off a kid pitching, where's my priority? Because, you know, some of these kids want to have 4 pitches right away. You know, what's the priority? What's the guidelines that they should at least follow and can make adjustments off of that?
Well, again, it's a combination of what the priority is, because certainly strength is a big part of it. I gave lessons for a long time, and people would say, "Can you make my son throw 10 miles per hour harder?" And I'd say, "Absolutely, I guarantee it. You give him to me for 3 years for 20 pounds and for 6 inches, and he's going to throw 10 miles per hour harder in 3 years when he's 15. But I believe that taking the body and starting on the lightweights and starting on a routine and a program is important. Developing the body, developing the habits of getting used to what you have to do and what you're going to have to do down the road to be successful in the weight room and all the other things that are available is certainly important. I'm a big believer in throwing strikes. The best pitch in baseball to me is strike one. The year I threw 281 innings, I struck out 78 guys in 281, ridiculously low number, but I only walked 50. And I made the All-Star team and retired 9 guys in a row in the All-Star game. So I'm a big believer in throwing strikes. Know your game. Know your strengths and weaknesses. Know how to throw the ball over home plate. It's great to throw 98 miles per hour, but if it's 98 miles per hour all the way to the backstop, it doesn't do anybody any good.
Yeah, and I think folks will – I would think they understand if you've got 2 pitchers that have equal pitches, I'm going to take the guy with the higher velocity. I get that part. I think that's common sense there. But unfortunately, that doesn't always work that way. So when I've got a pitcher that is progressing pretty good, am I trying to get – you know, there's a balance. Am I trying to get his velocity up, or am I trying to keep his good movement, what they call movement patterns nowadays? Am I doing both? Can both be done? Because sometimes you saw, even in some times that when you played, you saw some pitchers who, you know, would fall to the side a lot, throw hard, but couldn't control it.
Well, and again, control is the name of the game. And you get people certainly to swing at more pitches out of the strike zone when you throw harder, because they have to commit faster to it. And so you see some of the ridiculous swings. it's the blend. It's the combination of doing them. And the ones that can combine those things are the ones that are extremely successful and your stars. I want to repeat, I don't think you can ignore any aspect of the body movement combining with the mentality and combining with the idea of throwing the strikes, because certainly everything comes from the body, but the mental aspect of the game to me is just as essential, especially when you're going out there every fifth day for a professional team and trying to compete and trying to outwit a hitter that's pretty smart up at the other end. And believe me, it's hard for me to say that phrase, a hitter that's pretty smart. But the fact of the matter is, those guys, I don't know how guys ever square up a baseball. I mean, 96 miles per hour moving in two different directions.
Yeah.
You know, the amount of skill that it takes to connect and hit a ball 400 feet is just phenomenal.
You know, and I'm glad that you brought up the mental part, because, you know, one of the parts about pitching, especially for young pitchers, is fear. You know, fear of, if I throw it in the strike zone, that they're going to hit it hard. So what... How does a young kid overcome that fear? How do we, as coaches, how do we work on overcoming some of these fears? Because I'm going to tell you, I'm a big believer. You've got a fastball. Now I'll put it with this. If you've got a two-seam fastball and a four-seam fastball, and you can locate it in and out, up and down and across, you can do those things. At a young level, I believe you can be very successful. The problem is getting that young person to believe in that.
And the intangibles are that one thing that has no measurement to it. I talked with Dennis Eckersley a month or so ago and did a podcast with him, and he was talking about fear of failure being what drove him, you know, as the player. And I always said that, you know, giving up a home run to a guy is kind of like having your pants pulled down in front of 30,000 people. You know, it's not a fun thing. But you've got to have that confidence in yourself that you can overcome that, that you can pick yourself up, get the next guy out. I felt like every pitch that I threw had the potential to be a double play ball if I had a man on base. My feeling was I could get two outs with one pitch with the next guy up if somebody got on. And that was always in the back of my head. Try to give up solo home runs. If you're going to give up a home run, make sure it's not a killer. And know that you can get two outs with the next pitch if a guy does get on.
Did you have coaches at any level in baseball come out and say something to you? And then you, and this comes to the mental part, and then wonder, what did he just say? Why did he tell me that? You know, in other words, I mean, you talk about terminology. When you go out to a young kid and he's struggling, I mean, we certainly have to be careful exactly. We have to know the person, but we have to be careful what we say also, or how we say it.
It's one of the really interesting things now is that we can see these coaches that are mic'd up in the Little League World Series and all those different things and hear what they say. And the guys that go out there that are just trying to relax their players, trying to slow the game down for them, that common phrase that is never, ever overused, because it's exactly what you have to do. You have to slow things down to your time frame. What managers come out and say to you is hilarious. The best game I ever had, Peter, I think I pitched I lost a no-hitter in the eighth inning at Yankee Stadium.
Wow.
And it was one of those days where, like Michael Jordan used to say, and players say, you were in the zone. You remember the film The Legend of Bagger Vance?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Remember when he was putting, Matt Damon was putting on that green, and he had that green tunnel all the way to the hole? That day, I swear, I saw the ball could see from the minute it left my hand to the minute it hit Buck Martinez's glove down and away or down and in. I had that tunnel, and I could just tell that it was going that way. And so you clear your mind and you get yourself to imagine what you can do successfully, and then you go out there and execute that. And it doesn't happen every time, but if you have that belief in yourself that you can do that and the next pitch is going to be your best pitch, know what you do best, know you can get outs with it, the mental part of it plays that huge part.
Hey, shout out to Buck Martinez. Had him on the show. Another great, great baseball mind.
Yeah,
a lot of fun with him. I got a chance to meet him at the World Baseball Classic. And actually, long story short, when I was coaching in Belgium, the Toronto Blue Jays sent him to work with us with some coaches in Belgium. That's how I got to know him. Slow the game down. You know, you just mentioned kind of a technique that you used. Was there any other, when you were struggling on the mound, was there anything else you did that kind of helped you slow things down?
Yeah, and I just heard somebody on one of the games the other night and talk about it. I think it might have been Adam Wainwright, who I thought, by the way, if you young players out there have a chance, listen to Adam Wainwright break down the baseball game when he was talking. He was with A.J. Pierzynski the other day, and fantastic. I thought did a great job. And talk about get off the mound, get away from the rubber, slow yourself down, take yourself out of your pace when you're in trouble, take yourself out of your pace for a second and make sure that you regroup internally. So if I went 2-0 to a guy and I missed with the same pitch, I went to the back of the mound, I took my hat off and fake mopped the sweat off my brow and said, all right, why are you doing that? You're opening up too fast. What do I have to do to recover from that? Well, I've got to get my head over my knee and close my body up because that's going to get me compact and get my arm slot back up to where it needs to go, and I won't be leaning anymore. So have your list of mental cues. Take a minute to go back and regroup. Let the thing slow down for you, because when you've got 40,000 people in the stands yelling, it can get you pretty excited.
You know, it's interesting when a coach comes out, you mentioned mental cues, something that helps you understand what you need to do with your body. But we also, I'm assuming we have to be careful not to get into too many mechanical things with young people.
You are exactly right. And I had a pitching coach once with a team that came out and about 10 minutes before I was getting ready to face the Boston Red Sox. And he said, Larry, I think that your elbow is about a half inch too low. Well, for the 2 1/3 innings that I lasted against Jim Rice and Dwight Evans and Fred Lynn, I thought about my elbow, that pink elephant, right, is all you think of. So you're right. You can't get too technical. Most of the time when somebody came out to talk to me, it was, you're breathing like a racehorse out here. Slow yourself down, you know, regroup, take a deep breath, and get going. George Bamberger would come out. He'd walk out there and his feet were like this, and he'd come waddling out to you with his beer belly sticking out. He'd look you in the eye and he'd say, good luck. And he'd turn and I'd say, how did this guy have 4 20 game winners on one pitching staff with the Baltimore Orioles? And then you thought about it afterwards. You said, because he made me slow down for 3.5 minutes until I regrouped and thought about what I had to do. And that's how you get to be a big league pitcher, is knowing what you're capable of and what you can and can't do.
You know, I was reading the Midsummer Classic. I believe he retired 9 guys in a row, guys like Schmidt, Foster, and Garvey, I believe. You know, when you're pitching the guys at that level, Hall of Fame guys, and you know who they are, how do you identify, you know, I'm not sure if you had video back then that you could really check everything out, hitters, but if you don't have video, how do you identify how you're going to pitch to certain hitters?
Well, the All-Star game is a lot different because you're facing guys for the first time ever, so they don't know what you've got either. So they're just as befuddled. And I just went through this little exercise with there's a young fella named Corey Martin, really smart kid out in the Outer Banks that does some work with us. And we were looking at the All-Star video, and I said, man, none of those pitches were anything spectacular. They weren't biting hard sliders, and they weren't incredible sinkers. I said, they were just, and he said, well, you look at your mechanics, and they're all really sound. And we broke it down to today's game, and they were solid according to what people are looking at today. So even though we didn't have the video, we were still doing a lot of really good things back in the 70s and 80s, and the mechanics were there. It's just we didn't break it down as much. And now with video, when you do slow it down, they still look pretty good.
You know, I also was thinking, you know, when you talk about technology, what I like the technology, and I just want to get your opinion on this, back to the ball also, you know, technology, I believe, is helping, like you said, it can help reduce injuries in the long run, long term. But is it really changing the game when it comes to statistics? Are pitchers getting better? Or because you had pretty good pitchers in every era.
I think pitchers are getting different. I think that we've got a whole boatload of guys that can throw 95 plus because they've seen some of the ways that you can do it and that you can muscle the ball actually by perfecting certain techniques. The guys that make it to the big leagues that stay around are still the guys that go back up third base and the guys that are able to field a bunt and get an out. There's only 27 outs, and now you really only need, if you're a starting pitcher, if you get 18 outs, and you're a star.
Yeah.
You are a star if you can get 18 outs. And that's just the way it is. And believe me, I have no resentments. I have no, you know, I love talking to players today about the game and listening to what their thoughts are. I'm not a bitter old get-off-my-lawn guy about it. It's just the way it is, right? I mean, things change. Things change. And I tell the old guys when I go to those alumni functions, you either change with it or the bus runs over you.
Great point. Let's take a question from Harold. Harold, he says, with all the knowledge and technology easily available now, are we playing a dangerous game with exposing younger athletes to information overload? I know we covered some of that, but that's a pretty good question.
I think kids, and this is where, you know, again, the coach is one of the most important guys in this whole equation. The Pitch Logic Baseball does not teach you how to pitch. You still need somebody that understands the data, that understands how it works and why it works and what the data means, but is able to impart what happens if you change your grip and how you can change it and why you need to change your hand from being a little bit on the side of the ball and cutting it, which gives you rifle spin, which is inefficient spin and we want to eliminate, into getting your hand behind the baseball so that you get better backspin and the ball spins out of your hand more efficiently and how that's going to help you. So in my opinion, and the people that are around the technology world, the coach is an extremely important factor in this entire equation, putting the two together, putting the technology together with the end user.
You know, that's a great point because, you know, kind of like, you know, analytics and scouting, you know, you got to have both. You can't go without the coach. This is not a replacement, folks,
no,
for coaches. You got to have both of them. You know, the other part of the game that can cause some injuries too is the recovery factor, you know, recovering from after you pitch. You had certain ways you recovered in the 70s and 80s. Now they've got different methods. How do you see that? Are they pretty similar, but we're just using different techniques?
Well, the way that I recovered back in the day was I pretty much stuck my arm in a bucket of ice, but that was more to keep my beer cold than anything else, you know, before I went back out there. And now ice is not, you know, there's a lot of controversy about that and whether it's important or not. And there's different schools of thought. There are different schools of thought with anything, and it will change as time evolves and as things go along. But you hear a lot of the same things used today that were spoken about 100 years ago, just different ways. You know, I talked about getting behind the baseball, getting your bat, which gets your backspin better. Okay, so some guys talk about it one way, other guys talk about it, get behind the baseball and release it that way. So there's all different kinds of ways to use it. Recovery is a fascinating and maybe one of the most improved areas in the game. It used to be you had your 5 days, and we worked on 4 days, 3 days rest with a four-man rotation when I first started, which put even more stress on. And so the intermediate time was mostly used to just rest and recover the body. What we've discovered since those days is that there are ways we can force the body to recover faster. And so there are techniques out there. And for any young guy, for any young coach in particular, delve into all of it. Delve into recovery. Delve into the spin rates. Try your hand at everything. You'll find areas that you're better at than others, and you'll get a reputation for being that kind of a guy. But know all of it, you know, and recovery, nutrition, sleep. I mean, all those things now have become so important in today's game, and the players, the successful players, understand that.
Absolutely. And I think the younger we can start educating them, the better.
Absolutely. You're right there.
And, you know, the other part about pitching, is there anything else we missed out that you really wanted to talk about when it comes to the pitching that coaches really need to understand to make sure that their players are getting better and stay healthy?
Passion and conviction. Have a passion for the game. If you don't like this game, it'll make you crazy and it'll drive you out of it. You've got to be able to accept defeat. You've got to be able to accept failure. You've got to be able to climb back. You know, so I don't know which coach it was that said failure is not falling down. Failure is not trying to get up. And you've got to understand you're going to fail, but you've got to get back up and get away with it. And then conviction. You know, believe in what you're doing. I used to tell my kids, you've got to believe you're the most important person in the ballpark when you're standing out on the hill. And I said, and the way I know that is because they can't start the game till I'm ready to start the game.
Yeah.
So, you know, believe in yourself. And it's cocky. It's brash. You know, it might be overconfidence. But if you don't believe you're good, and if you don't believe you can get that guy out, that guy doesn't believe you can get him out. And they know it, and they feed on it. So believe in what you're doing. Have conviction with what you throw. But love the game, especially, you know, it's hard to make it. It's really hard to make it. It's hard to stay there. Love the game because it's a beautiful game. It's wonderful to watch. It's wonderful to play. And just have a passion for the game.
You know, Larry's got a great point, and I'll tell you why. I remember when I was a kid, I wanted to pitch. I pitched a little bit and wasn't very good at it. And what happened was, you know, the reason I wanted to pitch is exactly what you said. I get the ball. I'm in control. You know, and if I, you know, I always wondered, If you're a pitcher and you just spent time, if you didn't know much, but you just spent time throwing to a target consistently, or a catcher, and you really worked at it, you're going to get better at it because you do have the advantage over the hitter. No matter how good the hitters are nowadays, the pitcher has the advantage.
Yeah. It's just hard to do. It's hard to hit a baseball. You know, if you're off by a dime, it's a pop-up instead of solid contact. So when you start thinking of it in those terms, but you've got to have that confidence. I worry about the fact that we're developing tunnel pitchers, guys that go into the tunnel that have the technology that are getting their measurements and not competing and figuring out how to get hitters out enough. And when once you start getting to the advanced levels and you're getting scouting reports, you get that help for you. But you always have to know what you can do. You know, you have to know how a hitter reacts to the way you throw your fastball, not the way a hitter reacts to a fastball that's spending at 2650 from a 130 arm slot. You know how they react to what you can do, which means studying the game. And that, again, goes in with the love of the game and being willing to study it and pay attention to it.
All right, folks, we're coming close to the end. We got about four more minutes. You know, it'd be kind of cool to get your opinion on this. And, you know, with Major League Baseball, what's happening now, your thoughts on some of it. One of the thoughts is the three pitchers to, you know, where relief pitchers have to pitch to three batters. You think that's helping the game? It's changing it? What's happening there?
Well, quick story. I did a podcast this morning with Denny McClain. The last 30-game winner.
I know Denny.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I grew up in the Detroit area, so every time I was in the house, you know, throwing the tennis ball off the wall, it was that real high leg kick that he had. And we talked about the same thing. Baseball's very worried about the pace of play, not so much the length of the game as much as keeping the game moving and keeping something going on. And so I think that they're looking for ways to keep it moving, and that's it. It'll change the strategy, no question about that, but the DH changed strategy too. And so I think we just have to accept that there are going to be changes made to it. I like the different strategy of having people ready, having maneuvers available. I understand how it slows you down. I don't understand the thought process of I'm going to a baseball game, but it better be 3 hours long, because if it's 3 hours and 5 minutes, I've been there too long. I don't get that. You know, it's got to be 2:55 for me instead of 3 hours. You know, I'm going out. I'm going to enjoy this beautiful thing we call baseball, and I'll spend however long it takes to enjoy it. Does sometimes it get long? Yeah, it does. But there's so much more going on you can find out about, too, that makes it beautiful.
All right, I've seen a couple things happen in the playoffs here so far, and one of them was a couple times it's happened. You know, they threw a couple pitches, and then there were two strikes. And I don't remember the count, but basically the pitcher shrugged off the catcher three times and he wanted to throw a certain pitch. The catcher stuck with it, finally threw that pitch. Well, that guy ended up hitting it, you know, two runs scored. There's always that fine line. I mean, who's going to make the final call? If I'm the pitcher, I want to die with the pitch, but yet there's a game plan.
Well, see, I always believe that catchers make suggestions, pitchers make decisions. Because I'm the one that's got to pick up the paycheck twice a month and take it home to feed my kids. So I want to live and die with what I want to do. Now, we mentioned Buck Martinez. I got very fortunate that Buck Martinez was one of the best signal callers around, understood the game, and knew how I pitched and what I did. And he was a joy to throw to. I'd throw six changeups a game. And so we'd get to a certain spot, and I'd say, I'm going to trick Buck here, and I'm going to throw a changeup. And I'd look in, and he'd be wiggling his fingers, you know, because he just knew that how I thought. And so if you can eliminate that for your pitcher, it's a great way to make it much easier for the pitcher to do it. Know what you can do, believe in what you can do, have the conviction to execute what you believe is right, and you'll get away with a lot more than if you're saying, I want to throw a fastball. Coach says I got to throw a slider. I'm going to hope this slider gets somebody out. Well, it's not going to. I guarantee you it won't.
And this will be fun getting your opinion on this. And we may close with this. Let's see what your answer is. And then depending what the answer is, we may close with this last one. We're seeing bat flips. We're seeing now a hat flip. You know, we're seeing guys yell at each other because of it. I mean, we're either going to do it one way or the other, so everybody's on the same page. But I think, what's your thoughts there?
Well, if you're going to flip your bat, you got to be ready for the pitcher to throw his glove after right. He gets the out, whatever. It's going to get to a point where it gets too carried away and somebody's going to get hurt with the result, and we're going to have to put some barriers down. You know, I'm a believer in your passion takes over sometimes, and celebrate the joys. You know, I've got a picture behind me on the wall that is me with my head down, looking down at the ground. And if you look carefully, you can see a runner circling in the bases behind me. And I keep it there to remember that failure is a part of life. And if you don't come back and believe you can get the next guy out, if you don't go to work the next day and believe you're going to have a successful day at your job, chances are you're not going to. So I like those reminders. Somebody will get hurt, and they'll have to start laying some regulations down.
Well, and you're a football guy, and I don't follow football that much, but I think football put in some restrictions.
Yeah, remember Billy White Shoes Johnson started all that stuff, and now they do have different things that you can and can't do. You can involve some teammates some of the time, and it's all very confusing. It's a tough thing to do to get in the end zone. It's a tough thing to do to hit a ball over the wall. It's equally tough to get three strikes past somebody, so the pitcher should be able to celebrate it just as much as the hitter.
Well, you know, and the other thing that's interesting, so we're not done, sorry. The other thing,
Peter, I've been wanting to be on your show for a long time, man. I've written to you a number of times, and I love you. I love what you're doing. Tom House, Maneri, Strom, all those guys I watch you regularly.
And, you know, I had to do my homework, I guess, and it took me a while to do that homework. I don't know why, because I tell you what, this is a fun show. And not only is it fun, but you're bringing in some quality stuff for our coaches. The other part is what's fun about the game is there's really no one answer if you look at it. Because during the season, you could never pitch 9 pitchers in one game and do that consistently. But yet you could do it in the playoffs. There's times where now they're bringing the closer in the most critical aspect. It might be the 7th inning instead of the 9th inning. You know, but yet at the same time, you know, like some teams have started a pitcher, then taken him out in the 1st inning, brought in somebody else. It worked for one team, but it didn't work for another. So it's kind of a fun game to follow because there are a lot of different ways that you can be successful, and there's a lot of ways that you're going to fail.
Well, that's been one of the fascinating things about working with Pitch Logic and F5 Sports is that I've had the occasion to be with all 30 major league teams and the organizations, and you watch you listen to their philosophies and what they believe and how they do it. And even as far as the analytics goes, there's variances. So there always will be. There are going to be clubs that believe in big power arms, and there are going to be clubs that believe in guys with control, and we're going to try to outscore you. You know, and that's they build themselves differently, and that's why they're different teams are successful. I will say that right now the fashion is throw 95 to 98 up high in the strike zone with high backspin rates. You watch. Hitters are going to catch up. Hitters aren't dumb. They're going to learn to adjust, and eventually they will. Eddie Matthews used to say that he could time a jet airplane going through the strike zone if it was straight enough and he saw it often enough, and I believe that. And hitters will make adjustments. They'll figure out how to catch up.
You know, it's interesting. I just asked yesterday, we had a show, and I asked, you know, how do hitters adjust to the timing aspect? Dave Keller, the Cubs minor league coach and also hitting coordinator for Cleveland for a long time. And he said, well, the way we're going to have to adjust is understand timing, and we got to improve our timing aspect to do that. And I thought that was very interesting.
Absolutely, and it's the old phrase, been around as long as baseball has. Hitting is timing, pitching is upsetting timing. So,
yeah, and sometimes we forget. We're trying to figure out other ways, and we forget that there are some easier ways that this has been done before. It's not rocket scientist in some ways. It's pretty basic.
And the more that it changes, the more it stays the same. It's a game of constant adjustment. When you face a guy – and back in the day, you would face a guy 4, maybe 5 times. You couldn't pitch him the same way every time because they were making adjustments. Watching hitters swing through a pitch at a certain time, setting you up for later in the game, you knew that hitters were doing the same thing that you were doing to them. So it's that cat and mouse that makes it fun.
Well, Larry, in that case, the same thing we're seeing now is, you know, every game you could hear the announcer saying that it's the 4th inning, he's at 85 pitches, and their analytics show that at so many pitches or so many batters, the batting average against that pitcher skyrockets.
Well, and they even take it further than that, Peter. They take it down to, has he been throwing pitches in high leverage situations, high stress situations, which is when you bear down a little bit more and you try to put more on the ball and you take more out of your body. They're able to measure all those kinds of things now. And using that effectively is not an easy thing to do. And as you just said a minute ago, there are organizations that do it better than others.
All right, last one for sure. And this is an easy one. Folks, pitchlogic.com, you got to go to it. Check out the product. I think anybody starting off in the game of baseball when they're, you know, throwing, I think need to start with the product. I think it'll help them a great deal. Obviously, Cubs, White Sox are not in the playoffs anymore. But my team I really like is the Tampa Bay team. I just love the organization. You know, I've studied them. They're interesting because they do so many different things and use all kinds of technology, anything they can find at their disposal to get better. You got to get them Pitch Logic, or they got it already?
They've got it, and have spent some time with their guys, and they've got one of the different philosophies. They say, we don't have a ton of money to spend. We've got to make the most efficient use of everything that we've got and how we can use it to be better, and that's an organizational philosophy, and they believe in it strongly. They're one of the clubs that really uses everything to their advantage. Really, really sound departments in there.
Well, I'm going to put my owner's hat on, because if I'm the Yankees and the Dodgers and I don't win the World Series, you know, I want to know what the Tampa Bay Rays are doing, because they got a $90 million payroll and I've got a $300 million. Maybe I can go to 150 and you know, do it their way with $150 million and get a chance to win, because, and again, I love the team. I think it's fantastic. Larry, awesome show. You know, you're right. I should have had you on a lot sooner than this, man. This was exciting, a lot of fun. You know, here I am. Didn't even know you were a broadcaster. I had to do my homework and check it out. Former big league pitcher. Folks, everything's going to be on the show notes. PitchLogic.com, how to get the product, how to get a hold of Larry. We'll have it all in the show notes. Larry, can't thank you enough, man. Thanks for your time.
Hey, it was a pleasure. Enjoy watching the work you do. Keep it up. Thanks.
Hey, and we will do it again. We're going to get you back
glad
on
to.
Again.
Love to.
Folks, again, Larry Sorensen, PitchLogic.com. Special thanks to him. Special thanks to our producer, Brian Kroc, with the Lineup Media Group. Special thanks to, of course, everybody in the U.S. and around the world. Thanks so much for joining us. And remember, all we ask in return is for the free shows, go to YouTube and put in Peter Caliendo, hit subscribe. And if you really love the shows, do us another favor. Just forward it to everybody you know. It doesn't matter what level. It could be youth, you know, high school, college, professional. We've got all kinds of people listening in the U.S. and around the world. Okay, folks, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it. And God bless you. Stay healthy. We'll see you on the field soon and also on the next show. Bye-bye.
This has been Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Listen online at baseballoutsidethebox.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm.